Welcome to Belfast City Vineyard, where we are pursuing formation in the presence of Jesus, community gathered around him, and the impact he empowers us to bring in our families, city, and the world. The following message was given at one of our Sunday services. For more information, visit our website at belfastcityvineyard.com.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Well, how are we doing? It was more positive than I was expecting. I got a hi there. Good to see you. Guys online, wonderful. Wonderful to have you with us. So, the tree is up. Doesn't it look lovely?
Yes.
I had nothing to do with it. That's why it's tasteful. And we had our wonderful Christmas market on Friday night. Who was there? Did you spend more money than you intended to? Some of you are lying. And we have our first candle lit, so Advent is upon us. So by the power vested in me by myself, I'm calling it, Christmas is here. Mixed response. I'm getting some head shakes. I know. What can I do? I don't know about you. Have you ever taken a step back at Christmas and just pondered, like, what's behind all this? Like, what's going on? Like, even in church, we can be so overly familiar that we rush to angels and shepherds and wise men and carols and turkey and more turkey and too much turkey. And we can easily miss what's going on behind the scenes. And I spent some time this week just pondering, what would it have been like in heaven that first Christmas? You ever imagine that? Or am I just weird? Like, what was going on as the Father prepares to send the Son? As Jesus prepares to lay down heaven and his glory, his power, his authority, and to take on himself the body of a human. And not just any human, to take on the fragility of an infant. Do you ever think about that? Like, what must it have been like to have been there at creation, to fling the stars into space, and yet choose to limit yourself to need to be carried around and need to be fed? What compels God Almighty to do that? And of course, we know from John 3:16 and all through the Bible that it's his love that compelled him. For God so loved the world that he sent his Son. His love compelled him to step down in that first Christmas. So I've been pondering that. But then also, if you were with us last week, we had some guests with us from America, Caleb and Kathy Maskell. And they spent the week with us in a number of different environments. And one of the things that they kept saying over the week that really stuck with me was this idea of reconciliation. That there's something in the water here on this island that we as churches have to offer to the rest of the world about what it means to move in reconciliation. And I've been pondering that a lot this week, and I actually think it's a word for our church, an encouragement for us as BCV. It's naming something that we already are. And I don't know what springs to your mind when you hear that word, reconciliation. But I grew up here in this country at a particular time and a particular season. And so for me, the first thing that springs to mind is really awkward school trips with another school from the other side of the community. Anybody else endure these? Have you ever seen the episode in Derry Girls with the toaster, that famous one? Some of us lived through those awkward moments. That's what springs to mind for me. But of course, reconciliation is much deeper than that. You know, what it really means is to bring back together two parties that have been separated or divided. Two groups, two people, two whatevers, and to reunite them across the things that divide them. And I can't help but thinking that that actually sits right at the heart of the Christmas story. Love, yes, was the reason. Love was the driving force that Jesus was willing to step down into the brokenness and the chaos of this earth. But reconciliation was his mission. That was what he came to do. You see, sin always divides, always separates, always pulls apart God's good order. It separates us from ourselves, from who we were meant to be. And we end up living hurting and broken and devastated lives. It also separates us from each other, leaving fragmented and divided communities and crushing isolation and a constant othering into us and them across many, many different lines. And it separates us from God, leaving us spiritually barren and restless, without purpose and unfulfilled. And into all of those separations, those divisions, those fragmentations, Jesus stepped down that first Christmas. And Paul writes in Colossians 1, "For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him," that's Jesus, "and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross." At the heart of the Christmas story is reconciliation. Broken and hurting people, othered and divided communities, a whole humanity far from God. And he stepped down in to reconcile it all to himself, to pull it all together in harmony and in order. That was the mission of Jesus. And he didn't just stop at himself. For those of us who love and follow him, he gave us the same mission. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5, "All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. When Paul says something twice in two verses, we should probably pay attention. When he says something twice in two sentences, we should probably pay attention. Do you see what I did there? You're so quiet. It's going to be a long talk. There's something about life with Jesus where we are called to step into this mission of bringing this world back into order, bringing communities that are divided back to one, bringing broken and hurting and busted up and chaotic lives back into wholeness, and in the midst of it all, reconnecting people to the God who made them. Amen? Channeling my inner American. One of the ways... I'm not American, by the way. A number of you keep asking if I'm American. I'm from Ballymena, if you can't tell from my accent. I don't know what has gone wrong. Anyway, one of the ways we as a church seek to do this work of reconciliation is in how we interact with those who society would push to the margins, who our city would treat in ways that leave them vulnerable. And we do that through our compassion and justice ministries. And one of the main ways that we do that is through Storehouse. And Rosie just talked about it a minute ago. Storehouse runs all year round doing some incredible things. And at least once a year, we like to take some time to share a little bit of that mission and that journey with the wider church. And so that's what we're going to do this afternoon. Is that okay? Yeah. Great, because I have nothing else. So if that's not okay, I'm not sure. But that's what we're going to do. But as we just look at Storehouse, would you keep that idea, that lens of the mission of Jesus to reconcile the world back to himself, and that call of Paul to join in that mission, would you keep that front and center of your minds? So what is Storehouse? It's a great question. What is Storehouse? Well, Storehouse is our compassion ministry here at BCV. It is a separate standalone charity now, but it was birthed right here in this community 18 years ago. Some of you were there for that. It started after much research and thought and pondering and looking at the city. It started as the first structured food bank in the city. And this was our first ever storehouse collection. Look at that. Anybody remember that floor from the school we used to meet in? That was the sum total of Storehouse 18 years ago. That was where it started. And if I'm honest, that's where we thought it would stop. We had enough faith for you guys buying one or two extra items in your shopping every week, bringing it in. We take the risk to think we could feed 10 households a week, every week. And we had so much faith that we committed to 2 months, because that's what we thought all it would last. And there in the 18 years since, there hasn't been a week that we haven't served some families in our city who would otherwise go hungry. It grew from there to, as I said, a standalone charity now that has 9 staff of its own. We have 200 plus volunteers every month. We have 30 plus churches across denominations working together and not falling out. If you think the age of miracles ceased, there it is. We've got 20 plus schools and businesses across the city working together and working with us as well, all to serve in and around 200 or so households every single week across the greater Belfast area. We're now based down in the city centre in North Street in our storehouse building. And it has been a crazy journey as we have sought to live out those values of hospitality and significance and hope. And it wouldn't have happened without BCV. It wouldn't have happened without this community. This is the community that Storehouse was birthed in, that Storehouse is grounded in, that our values are shaped and founded by. I've had the honor and the privilege of leading Storehouse for the last 18 years, and I can tell you, I wouldn't have made it without you guys. Never mind Storehouse. This is deeply embedded in who we are and intrinsically linked with BCV. And this is some of the well done of the Lord to us as a community for what we're seeing. So that's what Storehouse is. We started out 18 years ago with a simple hunger and desire to serve those most at need in our city. We've seen that people were going hungry and we weren't okay with that, and we thought we could step in and try and help. You know, sin, as I said, of many kinds, separates us from who we were meant to be and the lives that we were meant to lead. And people all throughout our city are living really broken lives right now. You might think, look, we're a Western modern country, and it's, you know, it's 21st century, and we've got benefits, and we've got all this stuff. Like, surely nobody's really living messy lives. They are right now in our city. And some of that is from their own poor choices. I will be the first to admit that. Anybody here ever made a bad choice? Anybody trying to lose weight and you still have a sneaky Chinese on a Friday night? Yeah? Yeah? Even though you know it's not going to do you any good. Yeah, we all make bad choices. And yet for some in our city, those choices can spiral into chaos and destruction and no way out. Or maybe they don't have the kind of safety nets of community that we have that can help us out of the choices we make. For others, some are there in that brokenness and chaos because of the effects of other people's sin, things that have been done to them, evil and carelessness. Some are there from the impact of broken and evil systems of injustice and oppression and greed. And if I'm really honest, most of those that come through our doors, it's a complex and a confusing mix of all three of those things that have led to lives that are chaotic and broken. I don't know if you noticed this week in the news that we are teetering on the brink of having our first trillionaire ever exist in the world. Have you read this? Elon Musk is crashing in. How is that even possible that someone would amass so much wealth at a time when we still see people go hungry? There's something not right even in the systems of our world. And a couple of weeks ago, I had the privilege of being at our Wednesday morning breakfast that we lead in Storehouse, and got to sit down at a table with a couple of lads that I hadn't met before, and over breakfast just began to hear a bit of their story. Both local lads, you could walk past them in the street, you would not know that there was much of brokenness going on in their lives, and I just began to hear a little bit of how they are currently stuck in homelessness. And I was asking, well, look, can you not get into one of the hostels in our city? They said they've been trying endlessly, and the good ones they can't get into, and the ones that they might have a chance of getting into, they don't want to get into because they'd have much more chance of picking up an addiction or getting into trouble or spiraling down. And so they're caught in this cycle of trying to get a crash bed. That's a bed that you aren't sure if you're going to get from night to night. And they were telling me the process of how that works. Every day they have to phone a number at 5 o'clock. If they phone too late and they end up too far down the queue, they've got no bed for the night. If they manage to just hit it sweet, they get a bed for the night. They get told, come at 7:30, you'll get let in. They get in, they've got a bed, a nice room. They've got a kitchen where they can cook and showering facilities. And at 7:30 the next morning, they are kicked back out again. And they've got to take everything with them. They can't leave anything there because there's no guarantee that they'll be back that night. And really simple things, like they were saying how hard it is for them to budget. They're happy to cook for themselves, but they can't buy food and budget because they can't store it. And they have to carry everything with them every day. And they spend every day looking for places in our city that they can go for free so that they're not outside. So that they're not spending money that they don't have. How is that possible in a moment where we're also seeing people amass such incredible wealth? It's not okay in our city. I said to one of them, how long have you been stuck in this kind of limbo? And he said, it's been about 6 months. And in those 6 months, I've been really fortunate. I've only had a few times where I haven't got a bed and I've had to sleep outside or try and find somewhere to crash. I looked at the other gentleman and I said, what about you? He said, I've been living in this crash facility since 2018. Every day unsure of where I'll sleep tonight. That's not okay. And I don't know what the backstory is and how they've ended up there, but regardless of that, it's not okay that anybody in our city should live that way, or any city for that matter. Regardless of the reasons, the mission of Jesus is to reconcile people back to who he made them to be. And so as Storehouse, we serve some really practical needs. So down in our city center venue, we have a food shop that looks like this. Not pre-packed food bags, but a shop laid out. And it's all free. And those who are referred can come. They can come a couple of times a month for 6 months and choose the items that they want, that their household will eat with dignity and respect. We have a clothing boutique where those who don't have access to adequate clothing can come and shop. And I say shop, it's all free. But we won't give away for free anything that's not good enough to sell. We want people to experience the dignity and worth of choice. We have a team that deliver furniture around the city to those who are moving into new homes. And again, all free where we can. We provide food, we provide clothes, we provide furniture. That's probably about 150 or 160 households every single week avail of those services. And more than that, we provide housing. Through our partnership with Hope Into Action, we have two houses open. Those first two houses are connected to us here at BCV. They're within a mile radius of this building. I can't tell you any more detail than that. Some of you are on their befriending and support team. And right now we have four tenants who would otherwise be stuck in that system that I just told you about, who right now have a stable home, have a friendship and support team around them, and have an empowerment worker working with them to move on. It's a drop in the ocean, and yet it's part of who we are here at BCV and Storehouse. And we have three more houses in the pipeline for the year ahead. And then finally, the other thing we offer is advice. We have an advice agent with us once or twice a week, helping people get access to things that they are entitled to. So we serve. We serve the practical, day-to-day needs of those most vulnerable in our city. But somewhere along that 18-year journey, God began to speak to our hearts, to really challenge us and poke at us, and of that idea that we were kind of drifting towards trying to fix people. rather than recognizing the unique significance of every single human being. Regardless of their story, regardless of their current situation, every person you lock eyes with is made in the image of God, has unique intrinsic value and worth. And we were trying to treat them as problems to be solved. Not intentionally, but that's how we were drifting. And so we began to look for ways to not just serve practical needs, but to love people into community. Because as I said, the poor are not problems to be fixed. Neither are the rich resources to be used. We are all made in the image of God, and we are made to be in community with one another. But when we act like people are just problems to be fixed, we kind of cut ourselves short at service. And probably unintentionally, we begin to raise these barriers to create lines between us and them. Those that need help and those that give the help. You ever felt this? Those that have and those that don't. That was never the mission of Jesus. That's not reconciliation. We're called to break down those barriers. The activist and writer Shane Claiborne puts it this way. The church becomes a distribution center, a place where the poor come to get stuff and the rich come to dump stuff, and both go away satisfied. The rich feel good, the poor get fed, but no one leaves transformed. No new community is formed. And we at Storehouse and at BCV, we resolved that we didn't want this to be the definition of Storehouse. This is not how we want to operate. And so we set out to create environments of hospitality to receive those that Jesus would bring through our doors and to create as many excuses for positive community as we could possibly find. How could we take what God had entrusted in our hands and use it to form community? And that's a swirling change depending on what's going on and who we have. But right now, here are some of the community environments that we have running every single week. Firstly, we have our home breakfast every Wednesday morning. Best free breakfast in Belfast. That speaks to my heart. In two counts, food and free. We do a full fry every Wednesday morning for about 60 to 70 folks. Some of them will be currently experiencing homelessness and living on the streets. Some are in hostels. Some are in active addiction. Some folks are seeking asylum in our city. We have folks who are really struggling with their mental health or mental illness and can't work. We have the elderly who've retired. Can you get the picture? And we put them all in a room and we have breakfast together. And it has the potential to be a swirling, chaotic mess. And yet it's not. Because if Genesis teaches us anything, that the Spirit of God hovers over chaos and brings beauty and brings order. And we see community formed over very well-cooked eggs. We have groups every week that are women's only for baking and art and sewing, where we get to spend time just exploring each other's cultures and passions, bringing recipes to the table, learning to cook. I say we, I'm not allowed to be part of it. But if you ever want to volunteer in Storehouse, come down on a Tuesday, because everybody gets to eat whatever they produce, and it is delicious. And they make craft, just brilliant stuff, just really impressive. Thursdays, we have a sewing group. Then we have a pottery studio down in North Street, that we built because clay kept getting everywhere. And we limited it to a room where we get to teach people how to shape and form things out of clay and experience creativity. We have a chess club that runs on a Thursday. We have a group of lads who play football every Tuesday afternoon down at Boucher. If you would like to come and help, Matt would love to not have to referee three games at once on his own. So that's every Tuesday afternoon. We have a guitar group where we get to put guitars in the hands of people who wouldn't otherwise get a chance and teach them G every week for 7 weeks in a row. I still haven't mastered it. We have community meals once a month where we bring together a group around a dinner table where everybody has a role. Nobody's coming simply to be served. Everybody comes to serve one another, to help cook, to help set the table, to help clean up. Like a family, that works well sometimes. But in all of that, what's deeply important are the conversations that happen. Like, you could not sit down and strategize how to get some of these people together. And yet, over potato bread, or around a guitar, or around some clay, we see groups that don't belong together form community in ways that break down barriers and release hope. The kingdom comes. And we have seen the transformative power of community at work so many times as the barriers of other are removed across race and religion and education and gender and language and wealth, as people are reconciled to one another in the name of Jesus. And it is wonderful. There's a local lady that's been part of our storehouse community for many years now. We'll call her Jane. It's not her real name. Jane comes from a very, very difficult and troubled background. She suffers from some pretty severe mental illness and lots of physical challenges in her life circumstances. And we've done the best we can to welcome and to love and to receive Jane over the years. She's barred from many other places in our city. And yet we've never had to bar her from storehouse. And she'd been away for a while and actually got some really good medical help and has been back with us on and off over the last year. And she's doing really, really well. We were able to help her furnish her house, her new house. And over the last couple of months, she kind of drifted away again. We started to worry about her. We hadn't seen her. And one of our staff members has done a brilliant job of just keeping in touch. Every now and again, checking in with her, phoning, texting, how are you doing? And I bumped into this staff member, Bridget, this week in the corridor, and she just said, look, I've got a bit of an update on Jane and what's been going on. I said, brilliant. She said, I was worried about her this week. I hadn't heard for a couple of weeks, so I thought I'd phone her, and I lifted my phone to ring her. And it just so happened she had sent me a text message 10 seconds before I managed to phone her. And she thought I was phoning about that. I said, well, what was your message? I haven't even seen it yet. Jane said, I'm standing in the Ulster Museum, and I'm doing really well. I've been in this program with another organization. It's starting to help. I'm feeling settled. And I was looking at these two paintings, and I suddenly experienced real joy. I realized I'm at peace, and I'm really happy. And I had this thought, I wish there was someone who cared that I'm happy. And then she thought, you know what? Storehouse would care. So I'm going to text them. She took the photo of those paintings and she texted it to Bridget because she knew that that community cared how she was doing. The power of positive community and love. And for many of those that we work with, the barriers that they face and the pain and the trauma that they've encountered can take a very long time to overcome. We don't think there's any easy fixes. And often our job can simply be to hold them in loving community for as long as it takes. And sadly, many don't make it to the fullness of life that they were made for. Though I'd imagine if we were honest right now here, not all of us make it to the fullness of life we were made for, right? Anybody walking with no problems? Yeah, my hand's not up, by the way. Sometimes the difference is that a little bit of wealth gives us the ability to hide our brokenness and to hide our failures a little easier. We're all broken. And sadly, some folks don't make it to where we'd hope they could. We still love them and we still hold them for as long as we can. But we do see those who find a fresh sense of hope. You know, an ability to imagine a different future than the past that they've experienced. When they encounter that positive community, that sense of restoration of dignity and worth, they begin to move towards flourishing. And for those in that position, we want to try and do all we can to empower them in their journey, to walk alongside them. And so we love and we serve, but we also seek to empower at Storehouse. And so we have things like English classes that run every single week for those who are finding a home in our city and can't speak the language. We have skilled and trained teachers who can work with them and help them pick up some English. We offer CV and employability workshops each month, just helping prepare people to step back into the workplace. We have one-on-one mentoring schemes. We have loads and loads of structured volunteering. At last count, about 40% of those who volunteer in our city center venue are either current or former service users. Now, if you know the sector, that's pretty huge. Nobody just comes to get a need met, or very few. Everybody gets invited into bringing whatever they have to bless and serve the lives of others and to join in the storehouse journey. We offer not just pottery experiences, but also structured pottery classes where those who actually have a skill or a passion can develop in that. And we've seen a couple of students go on out of that to study at a higher level in ceramics. Any of you on Friday night buy any pottery from like down near the bottom corner? That was made by our storehouse students who've come through our pottery classes. Or the baking, the beautiful baking that was in the bottom corner near the kitchen. That was our Tuesday morning bake team making beautiful wares to sell on Friday night. We also have a program called Change the Lens, which is an 8-week photography and filmography course that Matt runs. Matt's here, part of our BCV family, where we put camera equipment, really good camera equipment, in the hands of those who wouldn't otherwise get a chance to learn. And Matt teaches them things that I don't understand, about words that I can't even pronounce, like aperture. And they produce incredible photos and community around that as they go through that course. We have an editing studio where they can learn how to edit both photography and short films as well. And then just recently, we have launched the next step of that, which is a social enterprise. We are now moving towards paid employment within that Change the Lens arena for some of our students and looking to generate income that can feed back into Storehouse. If any of you have seen the little promo video that was done for the church plant that we sent out, Faith Vineyard Church, recently, that was done by our Change the Lens team. Paid work. And we have one of our Iranian refugee community doing all that filming and paid handsomely for it, and rightly so. Employment is big on our heart at Storehouse. We don't want to just see people stuck getting a handout. We actually want to see people empowered to flourish and to work. And we're looking to build businesses that can do that. So if you have a business, shameless plug, that needs any photography or filmography work, check out changethelens.co.uk or come and talk to me or Matt afterwards, and we would love to work with you. So throughout it all of Storehouse, we are seeing people being served, being returned to themselves, being loved, being returned to community, and being empowered, being returned to the future that God has for them. And in all of that, it's our prayer that they are encountering the mercy and the love and the hope of a Jesus who gave all he had to reconcile every part of all of us back to himself. Constant invitation to come into the family of God. That same Wednesday morning that I mentioned meeting those two lads, I met one of our guys who has been around us for a long time. We'll call him Brian. If you, in your mind's eye, call to attention like the stereotype of a gentleman who is older, who is currently street homeless, who is drinking and stuck in cycles of alcohol addiction, you're probably thinking of him. That's the picture that you should have in your mind. He's been known to us for many, many years, and occasionally comes into Storehouse. More often, Laurie and the street teams would encounter him as they go out on a Friday morning to chat with those who are currently stuck in cycles of homelessness. And over the last few weeks, Brian had started coming into Storehouse. We've been constantly inviting him. And on this particular Wednesday, he was on his way out, and I got a chance just to chat with him, and I was telling him just how much I love having him with us and how much we care for him, how good it was to see him, even though he'd almost just started a fight trying to defend Laurie's honor from another service user. That was all right. We smoothed it over.
And he was on his way out, and
I just said to him, look, you're so welcome anytime. We have a church service here on a Friday church. We've talked about it before. You can come anytime to Friday church, Brian. You are welcome as you are. And he looked at me and he said, I don't think I can do that. It's too quiet. I have to keep talking. If I stop talking, I lose the run of my mind and I get overwhelmed with everything that's going on in there. I need to keep talking. And I kind of looked at him and I said, I understand. Brian, I think God might want to bring your mind to peace. I think he might have that for you. And he's like, you going to pray for me then? I said, not if you don't want me to. Would you? So just in the middle of breakfast, middle of a busy morning, just got to pop a hand on his shoulder and just invite the peace and the presence of God to come and rest on him, fill him, still his heart, still his mind. Tears in his eyes, he thanked me, got ready to go, and he bumped into Laurie. Laurie's my wife, by the way, if you don't know. She's also part of our staff team, sitting down in the back. Bumped into Laurie on the way out, and he started telling her just how much he loves her and cares for her. Yeah, and then he said to her, Laurie, if I became a Christian, I would just die. I thought when I heard that, he meant like, you know, weird Northern Ireland thing, if I ever step in a church, I'll burst into flames. Nonsense. I thought he meant that. And Laurie said, well, what do you mean by that? And he said, if I started following Jesus, my heart would explode because I would care too much about other people. I thought, he's grasped it. He's grasped that to follow Jesus is not religion or performance or dead dogma or cleaning yourself up and getting to church. It is first and foremost to love those around us in a way that means we can't help but enter into their pain. In his encounters with Storehouse and our community, he had understood the love of Jesus in a radical way. Keep praying for him. Keep praying for Brian. Keep an eye out the next time you're tempted to walk past somebody in the streets, because it might be him that you're praying for. I could go on. But I'd love to invite you to get involved. As Rosie said, we've got our hampers coming up on the 23rd, always a highlight of Christmas. We get to deliver those out around the city. You can sign up right now with that QR code. Would you do the Storehouse staff a favor and would you sign up early? You know all the intentions to sign up? Helps with our logistics if we know in advance and saves a lot of Christmas stress. So sign up, come and be part of that. And if you've done that before a number of years, and maybe you're thinking, oh, here, just to remember you, it's here. Don't go to Kilwee. We won't be there. We'll be here. And some of you will go there. And that moment when you're there, and we're not, remember this. We're here. 23rd. Some of you have done that a number of years. Could I invite you to think about volunteering for the rest of the year? Maybe just once a month. There are lots of rules and lots of places and lots of spaces. And if you think praying for a man who's semi-drunk and been street homeless for decades is to bridge too far, that's okay. Nobody's going to make you do that. If you can make really good eggs, there's a space for you in the kitchen on a Wednesday morning. If you can love and serve in any number of ways, we'll find a place for you to come and be part of the team. At least take a risk and come to our next info night. They're on Zoom. They're only an hour. You can sign up for it. Scan that QR code. Shamelessly, I'm going to ask, would you consider giving financially to the work of Storehouse? All that we do is funded by the generosity of people like you who hold our values in their hearts, and we are free to respond to the needs of the community because of that. But we're currently running at a little bit of a deficit. And we're not able to do all the things that we have capacity for and would like to do because of finance. So if you feel like that's something that you could do, then feel free to give. And you can scan that QR code. And then lastly, I want to invite you to pray. As Rosie alluded to, we are in a pretty difficult circumstance right now as Storehouse. For the last 15 years, we've had two warehouses out in Dunmurry, in the edge of the city. We've had the use of those two warehouses for the princely sum of £1 a year. And those warehouses are no longer available to us. The park has been sold and the new business owners don't want to let us in for free. Who knew? And so we're already out of one of those warehouses. We have to move out of the second one permanently by the middle of January, which is pretty tough. On top of that, our lease down in our city centre venue is due to expire in May, and we've been told that they probably won't renew it. And so we're in a moment where we're not sure what the future looks like. There are things that we are desperately certain of, that we'll continue to serve and love our city, and that God is faithful and has never let us down, and that he has a plan. He just hasn't shared that with us just yet. So if you would pray, that we would see God move in power. We desperately want to buy a building in the city centre and actually be secure in the future. That takes a lot of money. So would you pray for provision? Would you pray for a move of God? And would you pray for wisdom and discernment as we as a team try to work out what the next season holds? And pray more than anything that those that we love and serve don't suffer in the midst of all the chopping and changing. That's Storehouse. A little window into the life of Storehouse anyway. There's a lot more that we can't unpack in one afternoon. But I want to finish where I started. The Christmas story is fueled by love, but it is a mission of reconciliation that we all, as followers of Jesus, in a thousand creative ways, are called to play our part in. Whether that looks like Storehouse or something radically different, we're all called to the ministry of reconciliation. And I suppose this Christmas, I just want to challenge you, who have you othered? Who have you drawn a line, or what groups have you drawn a line and said, I am us and they are they? Because that's not the story of the gospel, and that's not the story of Christmas. It's not the story of the people of Jesus. We're called to tear down those barriers. And we're not just called to it, we are empowered by him and his presence to do that work. So what would it look like for you to live tomorrow with eyes open to see those who need return to themselves, reconciled back to who God made them to be? Those who need invited into community, reconciled back into the lives of others. And be able to see those who need to hear that Jesus came and lived and died to reconcile them back to himself. Guarantee you're going to lock eyes with people that need to hear those stories tomorrow. Will you be intentional in looking for them? Will you be interruptible in your well-laid plans for the Christmas season? Will you be interruptible to what God is doing and inviting you into his mission? The kingdom very rarely comes in convenient ways or at convenient times, especially with those who most need it. Amen? Amen. Why don't you stand, and I'm going to pray for us, and then there'll be a prayer ministry team up at the front that would love to pray for you for anything that's going on in your life. We'll have tea and coffee and good things to eat. If I have deeply confused you, I will be here to answer all your questions. For some of us, we're recognizing that we have othered someone, that we have separated ourselves from them, that we have looked down upon them. And that might be a whole group, or it might just be one person. We've kind of said in our hearts and our minds, I'm better than them. And then for others of us, we've been on the other side of that. We felt othered. We've been made to feel less than, insignificant and unimportant, judged and reject it. And in either of those two sides, I just had a sense that for some of us, we hear this message of reconciliation and we're like, that sounds really good, but I don't have the faith for it. I don't think that's possible. And if that's where you're at, we want to pray for you. Because all things are possible with a God who stepped down from heaven into humanity to bring the fullness of his kingdom. So that's where you're at, we want to pray for you. And then some of us, we just found today, as I was sharing, like that dial, that hunger for, like, I want to be part of something that brings justice and compassion and mercy into the lives of people. You're just like, let me at it. If that's you, we want to pray for you. And finally, a bunch of us, like we sang, like we lent into the idea that darkness feels really close right now. As we think about the month ahead, it feels like it's darkness upon darkness. And we want to stand with you and push back. We want to stand with you and declare the truth that the light shines in the darkness and has not and cannot and will not ever be overcome. And that you're not in this on your own. So prayer ministry team, would you start to come? And I'll pray to close this. Jesus, we love you. We thank you that you are a reconciler. That you are deeply committed to loving us back into the fullness of life. We welcome you. We welcome your presence. We thank you for all that you've done these last 18 years in and through this community and in and through Storehouse. And we cry out for more. We pray, would you lead us? Would you guide us in the next season? God, I pray for each one of us. Would you give us eyes this Christmas to see those who have been othered, to see those who are broken and busted up, and to love and to serve and to empower with your wisdom and your mercy and your kindness. So fill us afresh. Send us from this place to partner with you in your ministry of reconciliation this Christmas. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For all the latest information about what's happening in the life of our church, or if you have any questions or comments, head over to BelfastCityVineyard.com.